Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Acts. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts. The end of chapter 21, end of 22, God caught my eye with something. Good morning, Miss Linda. God caught my eye with something. Anyway. And yeah, on days like this, boy, my bones ache. My bones just ache today. How you doing, Roy? How are your bones today? Yeah. Bradley, I was telling Bradley that a while ago, and he opened up the Bible to Ezekiel 37, where all the bones were scattered out. And God just began to put them all together. It feels like somebody just now put these bones together. Anyway, Acts chapter 21, toward the end, and we're going to get into chapter 22. But there was just something that caught my eye. You remember they have taken Paul, and they've taken him by force, and he's being arrested, and he's going to be, and for what? Did he blow up a building? No. Did he fly a plane into a building? No. Did he shoot a public official? No, he did none of those things. I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul did. Wayne reminded me of something this morning that our beloved Congress has done for us. Right, Wayne? They've done it for our benefit. Okay? Because we're Americans and we don't know how to take care of ourselves. Okay? So our government decided that it would be in the best interest of the public to allow the military to go ahead and arrest U.S. citizens. Oh, you know some people that you want arrested? You know exactly what I'm talking about. To allow the government, to allow the military to arrest U.S. citizens and detain them without writ of habeas corpus indefinitely. Okay? Let me tell you what that means. Let me tell you why this is a big deal. In the days when we were the colonies, okay, the police force of the colonies was the British soldiers. And we didn't like that. Because one of the things that the British soldiers demanded was the British soldiers demanded that they had a right to go in anybody's house, quarter themselves, which means get out of my bed, feed me, take care of me, and go through their papers and go through their private stuff. And so our founders, when they wrote the Constitution, they said, we're not going to give the government that authority without due process, without it going in before a judge and evidence being given. We're not going to give the government that blanket authority. They're not going to have the right to use military men. And I want you to understand this. Good morning. I thought I saw that out there. Good morning. Hey, there's a big tall drink of water there. The government is not supposed to use soldiers to fight crime, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Soldiers are trained differently than policemen. Policemen are trained to arrest people and send them through the legal process. That's what they're trained to do. Soldiers are trained to do what? Kill. Shoot them and kill them. Torture them if they have to. Okay? That's what soldiers are trained to do. And so now our Congress has said, we think it's in the best interest of all Americans, Gary, that we use soldiers to detain and imprison American citizens who are born this way or have accomplished this through the legal process, American citizens, without due process, without writ of habeas corpus. What that means is, writ of habeas corpus means that if they arrest you, they have to show in writing what they're charging you with within like 24, 48 hours, something like that. They have to do that. And if they can't do that, they have to cut you loose. Now, that cuts loose drug dealers and thieves and murderers, but it keeps the government from arresting Jim, just because he's ugly. Amen? Okay. Amen. Okay. Or Wayne, because of his, or Gary, because of his bumper stickers. They don't like your bumper sticker. And that's already come out. That's already, Department of Homeland Insecurity has already said, people with Ron Paul bumper stickers, or Don't Tread on Me bumper stickers, or Jesus is Coming Again bumper stickers, we need to watch these people. And it's not that they've done anything wrong, Roy. It's just that they said something that isn't popular with the guys in the government. They said things. Paul had not committed a crime. He committed no crime. And yet now he's been arrested and being detained without cause. Okay? Now, in chapter 22, you're going to see that Paul is going to speak. But I want you to follow Paul's speech. Okay? Now, what I just said in this place here, broadcasting all over whoever's watching, I have a right to say those things. Do I not? I have a right to say those things. Okay? I don't agree with that law. I don't agree with that policy. I don't agree with any of it. I think it's wrong. But right now, I have a right to say that it's wrong. Okay? And I'm not saying to you right now, get your guns out, let's go storm Washington and take it back over. That's different. Okay? There are those, however, that are saying that. Okay? And what was it you told me, Wayne? By the way, this is Wayne Shirk, in case anybody from... Okay? We'll give you his address here in a little bit. Social Security number. Federal ID number. Okay? That, what was it? Over the holidays, FBI was...
Thanksgiving weekend, that Black Friday...
Yeah.
...was the largest day that the FBI had the largest amount of background checks...
For people buying...
People buying guns.
Guns.
And a big portion of them were women.
Yeah. So... Have some pistol-packing mamas out there. Amen. Yeah, husbands beware. Amen. Walk the line. All right. But anyway, so they've arrested Paul and they've detained him and they're going to cart him off. Actually, the soldiers, kind of in this particular situation here, they pretty much rescued him from being beaten to death in this mob. Okay, because the mob does not have a right to rule. Amen. The mob does, that's anarchy. The anarchy is unbiblical. The mob does not have a right to rule. We are civilized human beings. There is a process that we have laid out and defined according to our laws, and it should be followed. Now, and this is what caught my eye, and I'm just still pondering this in my mind. But in verse 39 of Acts chapter 21, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. He is establishing his residency, his legality, and his citizenship. We've talked about that before, and it's going to come up again here before too long, not only with the Roman soldiers, but it's going to come up again in the face of the Sanhedrin. But he said, I'm a man of which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Notice that, you know what the word suffer means? Allow. He's being detained by the soldiers, and he is asking their permission to speak. Paul is not an anarchist, not by any stretch of the imagination. Paul is not an anarchist. The reason why he established his residency was to show that he had certain rights. And he is beseeching them humbly to give him permission to speak. Okay? Now I want you to look at verse 40. And when they had given him license... Who in here carries a license? I've got three of them in my wallet right now. Not three different IDs. Okay? I've got my hunter's permit. I got my unused deer tag, might as well say it. Which by the laws of the state of Missouri, gives me the right to go out during the season, carry a loaded weapon, and shoot and kill a buck or a doe. Gives me the right to do that. Okay? I don't just think that I have a right to go out and kill deer all year round without a license. I don't think I have that right. Okay? If I was starving to death, I might do it. I'm not right now starving to death, and I don't think that I have a right to go out and just kill deer. I don't think I have a right to go to the pasture behind our house and kill one of those guys' cows. I don't think I have that right. I have a license to drive a vehicle. I don't think you ought to be on the road if you don't have a license. Amen? Well, I don't agree with that. Matthew's 15, he doesn't have a license. I don't think you ought to be out on the road. I've been with him, trust me. He's not ready yet, okay? So we get a license. We get permission from our governmental authority that we have passed a minimum test, and we can operate a motor vehicle safely, and we can go out and do this. Okay, now, I don't have to have a license to eat food in my house. I don't have to have a license to breathe air. I don't have to have a license. I don't have to have a license by the government to preach. Okay? There's differences in rights. Okay? In this case here, I wouldn't necessarily say that I need permission to preach the gospel other than the permission granted to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a higher authority to preach the gospel. So I don't necessarily think that I have to have permission to preach the gospel. But I'll tell you, what Paul's going to do in Acts chapter 22 is exactly that. He's going to preach the gospel. But remember, right now, Paul has been sort of placed under arrest, whether it's, you know, for his own safety or what. But he right now is in the hands of these Roman soldiers. And they're carting him away. He begs them to stop and give him a moment to speak. And they grant him, the Bible says they had given him license, which means they gave their consent. Now, they didn't know what he was going to say. Okay? And probably, since he's under arrest, they didn't have to do anything. All they wanted to do was get him off the streets and get him safe, get him in prison, because until they figured out what was going on. But they gave him a license. Now, I'm not advocating that the government give us permission for everything. But in this case here, you can see Paul's character. He's not being rude and rebellious and disruptive. He's not being anything. He's not being anarchist. He's not saying, "Oh, down with Caesar, man." He's not part of the Occupy movement, leaving his bodily waste all over the streets. Have you seen pictures of the mess that they left? It's disgusting what they did in the name of free. That's not free speech. Amen? That's just being a dirtbag bum. And so anyway, I get off on that. We went to the Tea Party meeting, and we voiced our opinion in a civil manner. Amen? We did it in a civil manner. We didn't, there were Johnny on the spots, and we used them. Okay? We didn't feel like we had to camp out there. We didn't do anything like that. We voiced our opinion. This other crowd, supported by whoever, thinks that they have to tear everything up in order to, and I don't believe in that. But you notice Paul's character. He's not a rude individual. He's not a big mouth. He's not an anarchist. He's not in rebellion to either the Jewish rule or the Roman rule. In fact, he is constantly throughout this text appealing to his rights as both a Jew and a Roman. He's using the law. And even in this case here, he besought them. He asked them, "Suffer me, allow me to speak unto the people." And they gave him license. So now Paul, he not only has... the ability to speak. Now he has the government backing. He has the Roman soldiers saying, We're going to give this man a few minutes. Okay? So now he's got it. So he beckons with the hand. Verse 40. And isn't it amazing? Here 2,000 years ago, halfway across the world, when somebody does this, there's just certain gestures that are universal. Body language. Okay? When we do this, that means stop something. Halt. Okay? It's almost like a gesture of force. We're forcing people to listen to our, and if, you know, if I'm in a room or something like that and I do this, that means everybody knows what it means. I want everybody to be quiet and listen to me for a minute. Okay? Or everybody calm down. Okay? You can tell a lot about people when they talk by the gestures they make. Okay? Watch their hands and watch their eyes. If someone's talking and their hands are out like this, it's just simple things. When your hand's out like this, it's open. And your body is telling people you're being open about what you're saying. If you're gesturing like this and you're saying something like this, you're wanting to beat it into them, or you're asserting authority or whatever. It's just really neat to watch people talk. So he beckons with the hand. There was made a great, these people are silenced. And he's going to speak to them in the Hebrew tongue. He's not going to talk Greek to them. He's not going to talk Latin to them. I'm assuming Paul probably knew Latin. That was the official language of the Roman government. But he's going to speak Hebrew. Why? Because he's speaking to his own people now. His brethren in their tongue, using their accent. He is one of them. Okay? It's like I'm listening to this fellow from Tennessee. Okay? He's talked to me just a little bit before he comes in. I can tell. I can tell you're from Tennessee. Okay? It's how you talk. Okay? With just things that we just can't get by with. Okay? Somebody comes down from Minnesota. We know they're from Minnesota, don't we? Okay? We know. Okay? Or Iowa. Okay? Somebody comes up from Alabama. We know they're from Alabama. Okay? Paul has been in Jerusalem. He was born in Tarsus, but he was raised in Jerusalem, and he speaks not only the same language, but he uses the same accent and inflections that they're using. He is one of them. It's interesting when you go to a foreign country and you preach to people, and I fell in love with the Kenyans. I want to go back and preach to them. Okay? But there's nothing like being amongst your own people. Amen. Being with your own people. And having a heart for your own people. So chapter 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Okay, Paul is going to defend what he's doing. And when they had heard that, he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them. They kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily. Does anybody know what the word verily means? Truly. Okay, just kind of put that down. When Jesus said verily, verily, he was saying truly, truly. You know why he said it twice? It's just as true in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. Amen. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. I'm verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. He's dropping names now. And taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. And you know what he's saying? I understand where you're coming from. In verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness. Okay, and you can imagine some of them looking at the high priest. As soon as he says that, the high priest doth bear me witness and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He is reciting exactly what happened. On that day he had letters in his hand to go to Damascus and arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to be tried and killed. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now, I'm going to stop right here, and I want you to, I want to go back very quickly to chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. I'm not afraid to tell you that I don't know something, but I believe something. Okay? I'm not afraid to tell you what I don't know, and I'm not afraid to tell you what I believe. Okay? Somebody sent me an email yesterday, and they were asking me to please try to witness to this person. Somebody had put a YouTube video up that doesn't like the Bible. And they were trying to prove that the Bible was not the Word of God. It was written by men because it had contradictions in it, okay, or perceived contradictions. And they were looking to me to be the answer man on this. And I read it, and I prayed about it all night, got up this morning, and I prayed some more because I knew I was going to have to talk about it or skip over it and act like it wasn't there. Now, I don't want to do that. Okay? So I'll tell you what I don't know, and I'll tell you what I believe. Okay? And let me just give you the rules again real quick. Okay? Rule number one, there are no mistakes in your King James Bible. Okay? Rule number one. Rule number two, if you think you found one, please refer back to rule number one. Okay? That's similar to rule number one, mama's always right. Rule number two, if you think mom's wrong, please refer back. And this is really for your own benefit. Back to rule number one. Okay? Write it down. I always keep it right here. Okay? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 9. The Bible says, in verse, it said, there's the light that came down, saw why persecutest thou me, and that's all well and good. Verse 7, the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Back in Acts chapter 22, verse 9, they that were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Okay? It looks like a contradiction. Okay? I have no explanation for what it looks like. Okay? But I will tell you this. And let me go to one other place. Go to 1 Peter very quickly. Chapter 2. Just because I can't explain it doesn't mean that the Bible's wrong. Because I tell you what I did, Arlene. I Googled it. Okay? And you know what I found? I found probably at least 20 websites that wanted to tell you. Now, in the original languages, it probably should have been better translated something else. I don't believe that. Okay? Or they'll tell you someone who was copying the book of Luke or the book of Acts didn't copy it right. So now we're stuck with an unfortunate copyist error in our Bible. I don't believe that either. The faith that I have in this book does not allow for me to believe that Luke made a mistake, any of the copyists made a mistake, or the translators made a mistake. I don't have license to believe that. You see what I'm saying? There's that word license. And I went and looked up the word license. It means authority given by a governmental authority. Permission granted, usually in writing. Okay? Now, the license that I have in writing is believe it. That's the license. That's the only license I have. I don't have a license that says I don't have to believe this part here. I don't have that license. I have to believe what this says. Just because I cannot right now show you why this says, or it looks like it says one thing, it says another. There are similar things that are given to us between 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, and 1st, 2nd Chronicles. And you will see very subtle what looks like differences in certain stories, and it looks like they didn't all get their story straight before they told it. That's not the case. And in many of them, I can look at it and say, well, here's the difference right here. Okay? Let me show you 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be what? Confounded. You know what the word confound means? Confused. Okay? Now, I just believe in that stone. I believe wholeheartedly in that stone. Okay? And so I don't lay awake at night wondering why there's mistakes all in my Bible. I don't do that. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but in them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at what? The word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I will tell you that there are stumbling stone verses in this Bible. Okay? Stumbling stone verses in this Bible. That to those who don't want to believe God, they will use those stones as an excuse not to believe everything in the book. Okay? That's what I think is going on. Now, one possibility that I have thought of is that here we have a difference between Paul giving his own account in Acts chapter 22 and Luke giving an account in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we have Luke telling the story. In Acts chapter 22, we have Paul telling the story, and Luke is accurately writing down or putting down in words what Paul said. Okay? And herein lies something that I can get a hold of. Okay? Let's say Jim and I got into a big theological discussion. And he said something, and I said, well, I'm not sure about that. I don't know that I quite agree with that. Okay? That's not really here, unless he says, yeah, I think Jesus was a gay man. Okay? And we're not arguing that, okay? Because I'm human and because he's human, I allow for him possibly to be right and me wrong, and or me right and him wrong. I can allow for that because we're human. Okay? We can disagree civilly, cordially, and have it not affect our relationship. It's part of the long-suffering given to us as Christians, to our Christian brothers. And so that's one possibility with this. But I believe the accuracy of the story relayed to us in Acts chapter 9, and yet the accuracy of the story that Paul or that Luke is recording of Paul in Acts chapter 22. Okay, so I just have rules that govern how I think. And rule number one is there's no mistakes in the Bible. Okay, and it's just that simple. Okay, so anyway, and by the way, I believe the earth was made 6,000 years ago. I'm reading a book right now. The idea was given to me. I had a bunch of people send me a website of a guy who's coming out endorsing what's called transhumanism. Transhumanism is its evolution. And the Watchman broadcast that's coming out today deals with evolution. Not where we came from, but where we're going. Okay? Because they say, oh, we came from this low, low place, and now we're ascending up the ladder to a higher level. Okay? Now we're about to become gods, and now we've got it in our hands now. This guy is a venture capitalist, which means that he is willing to put all of his money behind companies and corporations and geneticists and whoever who are leading the charge to transform humans into gods. And he wrote a book. And in this, and I've got about a third of the way through it yesterday, and in this book, he is describing creationists. You know, these lower forms who still believe that the earth was made in 6 days, 6,000 years ago. That's me. That's me. Okay? I don't care what your carbon 14 says. I don't care what your layers say. I don't care what your esteemed scientists say. I believe this book, period. It's good enough for me. Amen?
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.